Let's turn this thing on. Okay, so that's actually really good. That's really good. So to hear what's going on at New Life. So if you got your Bibles, which you probably ought to, open them up to Genesis chapter 22. So we're rolling through the book of Genesis. You guys know how this is. And so Abraham, I never really noticed it as much. When you're just reading through the book of Genesis, you don't notice it so much. But when you're taking a time week by week, right? Because we're doing this in a year. So I'm doing a chapter a day, or a week, not a day. A chapter a week. So we're going to be done by the end of the year-ish. And so I never really realized how many struggles old Abraham had. When you read through it, it's like, okay, there's this, but like it's the same thing over and over and over again. So Abraham, he really struggled with some things, you know, with the whole my wife is my sister. How many times did he pull that trick? And then the whole, well, I guess you can't have kids, and God said he wanted me to have one, so how about your handmaid? And then that whole deal, and you got Ishmael, and so you got the whole deal. And then so last week, God rolls back up, and he's like, hey, you remember the kid you were going to have that I told you were going to have? I promised you. Well, here he is. And so Isaac rolls in to the story, and so that's where we're at. And so Genesis chapter 22, and I've taught this passage probably 4 or 5 times in different places. I think I taught it in London one year. I think I've actually taught this to Passpoint before. So as I was trying to do some sort of prep for this, I'm like, your mind automatically wants to go back to what it's taught before. I'm like, I know these points. I know this. So you know what I did? I have no notes because I didn't want to write down the things that I'd already had before. So we might be short on references today, but I think this is going to be a little bit more from the heart. So let's pray, and we'll get rolling and see how this rolls out. So here we go. Father God, I love you. I thank you for your word. Lord, your word is all we've got. We've got your son and your word, and they are one. And so, Lord, I pray that we do hold it as dear as we claim that we hold our relationship with you. I pray that we prioritize it, that we take it for what it really is, your words to us, and that we really apply it to our life, Lord. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing here at Heartland. Lord, the church is... it's been pruned and it's regrowing, Lord. There's a lot of new life going on, and so Lord, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the Passpoint class and the young families that are here represented, Lord. I thank you for those that are not here that are in the ministry working, Lord, or out traveling for the holidays. So Lord, I pray that you just speak today, put me out of the way, because I really don't have notes to lean on. I don't have anything other than you, God. So I pray that you would just set aside just a little bit of time that we can get in your word and see what you have for us, Lord. We do pray for New Life, as Brad's preaching this morning, Lord, that you would just continue to do a work there, that you would put them out of the way and the things that they've been taught to do, and that you would just allow yourself to do the work there. Lord, we also pray for Lauren, who has less than a month left, who has been on the field for over 5 months, and who is just faithfully doing what you've called us to do, and she's just being a living epistle, Lord. So I pray that we just continue to lift her up as we do week in and week out, and that you would just be glorified in those things and the things that she's doing and the things that that she's being called to do. I pray you just give her direction and guidance as she gets back on what the next step may be. So Lord, I pray you just speak to us this morning. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so Genesis chapter 22. I'm just going to read through this real quick. You guys all know this story. Everybody knows this story. And so I was like excited to get here because this is all, but then it's like, we've seen this. And so I want to point out a few things. There's like 4 questions that kind of popped into my mind, and we'll hit them as we go through it, and we'll just see what God's got for you. So let's just read through this real quick to get the story in our mind. Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. I'm sure Abraham's thinking, now do what? And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took 2 of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. And on the third day, that's weird, 3rd day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lamb will go yonder and worship. Just keep that phrase right there in your mind. We'll get back to that. And come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, because he's not an idiot, spake unto his father, and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire of the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him upon the altar of the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called upon him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon thy lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So the chapter goes on from there, but that's the gist of it. So everybody's heard this story, right? I mean, I'm sure we've all heard this story at some point, right? And so at first glance, it's like, holy smokes, this guy's got a lot of faith, right? He's doing exactly what God called him to do. I mean, shoot, God put him in the Hall of Fame of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 because of this act. But you know what? He had to get past all of the previous stupid acts. Let's just call them to get to this point, right? He had to get past himself to get to here. And so we all think of Abraham, or at least the most of people would think of Abraham as a really faithful dude. You guys are probably in the same boat I am, because I've been really hammering on this guy for the last month and a half, that he ain't got it figured out. So let's just kind of look at a few things here, and we'll get rolling. So back to the beginning. It says, and it came to pass after these things. After what things? Right? What are they talking about? When you read that, we read right over that. After what things? What are they talking about? Because, shoot, just a week ago when we were in here, we were talking about Isaac was, what, maybe 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 years old when he was weaned, right? Fast forward, how many years have passed here? Just to kind of, we ain't got a ton of time, just to kind of reference. End of chapter 21 and beginning of chapter 22, I'm going to guess 15 years have went by. And you might say, well, what do you mean? Well, Isaac's not a little boy in this story. The story I just read when Abraham tied him all up, laid him on the altar, I'm not guessing. And I've got reason to believe why I believe, and we don't have to get into it because I think we talked about it the last time I talked through this, but Isaac's not a young dude. I'm guessing mid-teens. I've heard some people say up to 20. It doesn't matter the exact age, but let's just say he's not a little boy anymore, right? He's not a little boy anymore. So a lot of things have transpired between chapter 21 and chapter 22. And up until this point, let's just be honest, Abraham hasn't got a whole lot right. He's messed up a lot. He's done a lot of stupid things. He's done a lot of, and you know what? Here's the cool thing about God. God's been faithful to him the whole time. You know, he did kind of put him into, the silence for 13 years after the whole Ishmael thing, but he came back, and right back, Abraham jumps right back in the saddle just to do something else dumb, right? And so, when it says, after these things, it's after all the really dumb things, at least that's the way I read it, that Abraham's done in his life. After all the times that he knew better, but he did it anyway. You know, I'm not saying that when you get saved, things get easy, because they don't. You still do stupid things. You still have struggles. You still maybe do things that you probably know you shouldn't do, just like Abraham did, right? We fall into that trap. And after these things, God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. This is a different Abraham than what we've been talking about for however long. In this 10 or 15 years that went by, I'd say Abraham grew up a little bit. And maybe he had to be 100 before he grew up a little bit, but you know, they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but I think that's what happened. I think Abraham, he grew up a little bit. Sometimes God puts a child in your life and you gain a little bit of perspective. Sometimes God, maybe it's not a child, maybe sometimes God will do something in your life, some big act, some big something, and all of a sudden you gain a little bit of perspective of who God really is, of how things really are, that maybe the world doesn't actually revolve completely around me, but there's a God, right? Something has happened in this time, because this is a different Abraham than what we've been talking about. It says God tempted him. I don't know that God throws a lot of temptations in our way as far as like what the devil will, but he will tempt you with things. He will try you. He will try your faith. I think this was more of a trial of faith as setting him up for failure, right? I got some guys at work that they swear up and down, you're setting me up for failure. Well, go do it anyway. That's what you were told to do, right? God's not setting him up, because I think God knew Abraham's heart from the beginning, but he wanted Abraham to prove it out. I think a lot of times God knows your heart on whatever it is, this, that, or the other, but you don't. And he wants to kind of stick you out there and let you figure it out, because God knows how it's going to work out. Verse 2, it says, and he said, take now my son, mine only son, and I don't have time to point this out, but three different times in what I read a minute ago, he says, take now thy son, thine only son. Why does he say thine only son? Because we all know that Abraham's got another one. But three different times, God's talking to him. He says, thine only son. Why is that? Well, I can't say anything of a certainty, but...
it's a son that God gave him. It was a son meant to be.
Yeah. But even in the previous chapter, you know, God was talking to Hagar, and he was like, you know what, we're going to set up a nation with Ishmael. He's going to have his own thing. It's not like we're completely casting you out. But I think once God did that, once God set up that nation, he was done with that. He was back to his original covenant. He was back to his original promise that Isaac, right? This also shows to me when I read it that something's different here. Something's different, because just in the previous chapter, 15 years earlier, however many years earlier, God was wanting to make sure that Ishmael wasn't completely cast out. But now, something's different, right? He's really focused on Isaac and what he's doing. He says, take now thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. Now, I'm sure, when you're reading through this, that's like, that's really crazy. Well, I don't know how much Abraham and God were talking in this time period, but there's been a lot of time went by, and all of a sudden, God shows back up, and he's like, here's what I want you to do. I'm sure that, just think about that. God says, hey, I want you to, now I'm not going to say sacrifice one of your kids, but maybe God says, hey, you know, you made a lot of mistakes, but you've been faithful for a while. It's time to take the next step. It's time to jump out off into the deep end. Are you ready to do that? Right? God poses the question, or he poses the statement, this is what I want you to do, but Abraham's got to follow through. And in verse 3, he doesn't say, but, or what about, or maybe we should. It just says in verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. He saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men with him. He just goes and does it. Something's different about this Abraham than the guy that we were talking about for the last several weeks. And so here's the first question I've got for you. And I don't even really know how to word it other than, because when you get saved, and I'm not saying that that's what happened in Abraham's life, because at that point there wasn't really salvation anyway, but even in our lives, you get saved and that happens in an instant, right? In a moment, immediately it happens, you get saved, right? In the twinkling of an eye. That's how that works out. But there's something else that happens in the life of a Christian, right? There's something else that happens.
Send me everybody.
Sorry.
It's all good. There's something else that happens at some point in the life of a Christian. There's salvation, but there's also a time in your life where you finally lay it all down, right? Now, I'm not saying as far as getting saved, but there's a lot of Christians who are going to be in heaven, but they're not going to have a lot to show for it. They're not going to have a lot to say when they get there other than, well, I'm here. There has to be a time in the life, and I think this is kind of what happened with Abraham, is when he finally said, you know what, whatever God's going to ask me to do, I'm going to do it, right? I was saved for several years before I finally came to the realization that whatever God calls me to do, I'm going to do it, no matter what it is, right? Now, I was on fire. I was discipled. I was doing those things, but I still don't think that when God would have showed up and said, hey, Jason, move halfway around the world, and I'd been like, why? Or, hey, Jason, go do this or go do that. And there has to become a point where, not that you get saved because you're already there, right? But there has to become a point where you finally give it all up. You finally give it all to God, your life, right? You can get saved, and I think there's a lot of Christians in the world who hold a lot back from God, right? They've got their Christian life, and then they've got their worldly life, right? And I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm not gonna be the judge of that. We're not gonna get into that. But there has to come a point. So here's the question: when was the time in your life when you finally said, "Whatever it is, God, you can have it"? Because something happened in this 15 years from the old Abraham to this guy who was like, "Okay, let's go." Because the old guy would have been like, well, how about you take my wife? Because I've already tried to sacrifice her like 3 times, right? Right? I mean, he had something to say no matter what. Something has changed. When did that happen with you? And maybe you're like, well, it hasn't happened. I'm saved. Well, praise the Lord. That's the first step. It took me a while to come to that point where it's like, all right, God, if you want me to sell everything I got, even my new shiny barn that's got new gravel around it and everything for people tomorrow, I'll sell it all and I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll go do something. I have no idea what I'm doing. You know, I'll move my family, and because if that's what God wants me to do, I'll do it. So that's kind of where, I guess you could call that sanctification. I don't know. Sanctification can mean a lot of things, but it's not salvation I'm talking about here. It's when did you finally decide that you can have it all, no matter what it is? Because there's a lot of times we say you can have this except for that, and you know, we start drawing lines, and we ain't got time to talk about that, but when you gave it all to him, all right? So I think that's where we're at. So, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. He didn't ask any questions. He just did it. And saddled his ass and took 2 of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for a burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place which God had told him. Abraham gets all the stuff he needs. He didn't conveniently forget the wood, like, oh, man, I forgot. Or he takes everything he needs. He's prepared for what God told him to do. He's just going to go and do it. Then on the third day, I'm sure that's just a coincidence that they're talking about the third day, we don't have time to talk about that. Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. I'm sure at this point, it doesn't say this, but I'm sure Abraham at this point's like, man, it was a step of faith just to come. God, and we're 3 days in. Anytime you want to step in, because I'm thinking you're going to, you can. And say, I was just testing you. He sees the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, because he took a couple of his guys with him, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Remember, Isaac's not a little boy anymore. Probably 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. Okay? Just have that in your mind. Abraham's at this point like 115 or 120. You can imagine what that looks like in an old man. Right? I'm like, we were talking earlier, I'm like 30-something and I feel like I can't do the things I used to do. So I'm sure Abraham ain't as good as he once was, right? And if you also know teenage boys, they think they can take the world by the you-know-what and do whatever they want. I got 2 of them at home. I promise, right? So there's something to be said about the relationship between father and son here. There's something to be said about what's going on here, right? So anyway, he says that Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And like I said, we don't have a lot of time, but this is the first time in the Bible that the word worship shows up. I think it's interesting that this, of all times, is the first time, because I think there's something to be said about the first time that God says something, right? This is the first time the word worship pops up in your Bible, right? And so what does that mean? What does worship mean? You know, we can go around the room, and I could ask you guys, and you could sit there quiet for a minute and then finally realize that, oh, he really wants me to answer. And by the time we got that far, you would tell me, well, it's singing, and it's going to God, and, you know, I'm worshiping God. And we would get 15 different answers about what worship is, right? And so to save time, let me tell you that all those are probably right, but that's not the right answer, right? When you worship God, when you come to God and worship, you expect him to be there, right? Abraham says to his guys, me and Isaac, we're going to go up here and we're going to go worship. You know what that means? God's going to be there and he's going to take care of this. He expects God to show up. So here's my second question for you. When you show up to worship, right, because the next service, we call it the worship service, right? It's the really holy one, right? It's the worship service. You're going to go in there and you're going to sing, and Brian's going to preach the word, right? And people are going to get saved. I don't know. But you know what? It's only worship service if you expect God to show up. You can show up to church and do your little church thing and all this, but you know what? You know what worship is? It's expecting God to show up. So when you show up for worship, whether it be in here on Sunday morning, whether it be in here on your porch of judgment, on the back porch, or wherever it is that you get in the Word to worship, do you expect God to show up? You know, because that's the thing. I think a lot of times we do it because that's what we're supposed to do. But do you really expect God to be there? Because I think Abraham expected him to be there, right? You have to expect God to show up or it's not worship, right? Worship is bowing down. Well, I'm not going to bow down to nothing. That's what they do in India to all these gods. When I bow down, it's to a real God. There's something there. I expect him to be there, right? He says, we're going to go yonder and worship. I could talk about that for a long time, but he says, and I'm going to and come again unto you. He believes that we're coming back. He doesn't say, I'll come back. He says, we're coming back. Abraham already knows that God's got this worked out. He doesn't know how, but he trusts that he does, right? He trusts that he does. So much so that if you read in Hebrews chapter 11, when you're reading about Abraham, we could go back and look at it, but we ain't got a lot of time. Abraham believed even if he would have killed Isaac, that God would have raised him from the dead. It says that in there. Abraham believed that he would have completely went through with it, and he had enough faith in God. Something happened in that 15 years. He had enough faith in God that he would have raised him from the dead, right? When you show up to worship, do you really expect God to be there? Because if you don't, something's messed up, right? Something's messed up. That'd be like showing up at my house tomorrow and not expecting food to be there, right? There's going to be some food there. That's the way it is. All right, moving on. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, once again proving that he's not a young boy. You don't lay that much wood for a sacrifice on a young boy. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. Remember, this is a pretty special relationship. 110-year-old, 15 or 20-year-old, you know, he's not like, what's going on here? You know, there's a very respectful way that he's talking. Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both. That was a good enough answer. He's not like a normal teenager. Well, what do you mean? Or, wait.
Why?
Yeah, what? Why? Why are we doing that? Why? Because I said so. That's why. No. There's none of that going on here, right? There's some respect. That was enough. He says, God's going to provide. All right. There's been some sort of investment in the relationship of God into this young man to know that, all right, that's a good enough answer for me. That's a good enough answer for me. So here's my next question. Do your kids respect enough of you or God to just go along with it, right? And there's times I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I think my boys are pretty upright most of the time. But they're normal teenagers, and they've got normal teenager in them, right? But still, I don't know that if I'm like, hey, Brian, throw this wood on your back, we're going to go have an offering, he's going to be like, hang on a minute, right? There's going to be some sort of talking here.
Yeah.
Right. So here's the next thing that happens. It says, verse 9, and they came into the place where God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar at the wood. Once again, there's some trust here. Because Isaac's like 15 or 20. Abraham's like 110, about to die. I'm pretty sure if Isaac was like, you ain't tying me up, there wouldn't have been no. Says he bound him, he laid him down. I don't think there was any struggle here at all. Because I think Isaac was just submissive. Right? He just trusted dad. Do you have that kind of relationship with your kids? Where they just simply trust dad? Where they just simply trust mom? You might be like, you don't know my kids. Well, I understand. But I'm just. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He was going to do it. Like I said, you can read in Hebrews where I think he would have done it if the angel wouldn't have stepped in, because he believed God would have raised him back from the dead, right? It's a trial of faith. Took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called out of him and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, I'm pretty sure there was a nice heavy sigh in there. Here am I. I really didn't want to do this, God. You know? Here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns, because I'm sure it wasn't there before, right? Because Abraham just wouldn't have seen it. I'm pretty sure this was divine. This was of God, right? There's a really nice picture here we don't have time to look at, of a sacrificial lamb being sacrificed in place of Isaac, his son, just like Christ was our sacrificial lamb being sacrificed in our place, right? Because we deserved to be hanging on the cross like Christ was. That was our punishment. That was all on us, and Christ took it for us, the same way that was Isaac's judgment, and yet here we go, and the lamb is going to take its place, right? So then they roll up, and so Abraham calls the place Jehovah Jireh. So here's the last question. When's the last time you got up in the mountain with God, right? And I'm not saying you need to plan a trip to Colorado or wherever. That's not what I'm saying, right? When's the last time you got some time away to really meet with God? Now, maybe it's not even time away. Maybe it's just time away from the world for a minute, where you turn your phone off, right? Get away from all that. I don't care who from work is texting me or what. When's the last time you got away with God? It says, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is seen this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. There's something to be said about getting away and getting with God, right? So the rest of the chapter rolls through. There's not a whole lot going on. God basically reaffirms the covenant. You know, hey, now because you're really serious about this thing, you really are going to have your lineage is going to be as the sand of the seas, right? As the stars of the sky. And that's the last time we really hear about this, but he kind of reaffirms that thing. So that's kind of the short version of what's going on here. You can look at this thing 100 different ways, but you have to know that something changed in Abraham, and something has to change inside of you as well at some point, right? Something has to. At some point, you have to say, whatever you want, God, you can have it. Whatever it is, God, you can have it, because I'm done. It's all yours. It's all going to be yours in a short amount of years anyway. So why not just give it all to you now? Right? And so I think that's what happened here. And there's something to be said about that relationship between Abraham and Isaac. And so there's a lot of things to see here. So that's kind of where we're at. So let's pray. We'll get out of here. We're out of time. It was good to hear from Tyler about what's going on in New Life. He's all good. And so let's pray, and we'll get rolling. Father God, I love you, Lord. I thank you for just your word. It's just really good to know that we can have a special relationship with you, Lord. It's good to know that we can, even after we make a lot of mistakes like Abraham did, we can get right with you. We can move forward with you. We can lay it all down, and we can end up having a hall of fame of faith type of life through your word, through your son. So, Lord, I pray that you just use us today, Lord, just as lights in a dark world. I pray you bless the service this morning as Brian preaches, Lord. I pray you bless the fellowship tomorrow at the Memorial Day outing, Lord. And I just pray that you just bless Lauren's remaining time in India as she wraps up. Give her safe travel mercies as she heads home, Lord, and that we would just hear a good report as she comes back, Lord, of what God's doing there and in her life. So, Lord, I pray that we just pray for those things. Just send us out in those lights in the dark world. In Christ's name, amen.